Hey y'all, my name is Eric. I'm the lead pastor at Emmanuel in Hooksett. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast. Our goal is to be a blessing to everyone who listens as you continue on your journey of faith. It's also our hope that you'll be encouraged to find a church to belong to so you can plug into that congregation and bless others with the gifts and experiences that God has entrusted you with. Well, I hope this podcast is a blessing to you and encourages you to get out there and be the blessing. God bless.
David was on, it seems, the brink of despair. He was depressed. Can Christians be depressed? Yes, of course. Elijah was depressed because he had nasty Jezebel trying to kill him. He was sitting under a tree, God, kill me. Like, Elijah was depressed. Jonah got depressed because God didn't kill the nation of Nineveh, country of Nineveh. He was upset because God didn't do what he expected him to do. Job, you know, was dealing with all those troubles. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, like he wasn't just weeping because he was sad for the hearts of the people, like compassionate. He was weeping because also he dealt with sadness in his life. Look how the verses go, the next few here, verses 3 and 4. It says, David kind of goes deeper and deeper into this dark cave of despair. He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, in other words, he was ready to faint. He was ready to faint. Then you knew my path. In the way in which I walk, they have secretly set a snare for me. Look on my right hand and see, there's no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. No one cares for my soul. Listen, many people feel like this. They're in a situation. No one cares for me. No one even comes around and asks how I am. Like, I have no one to care for me. And refuge has failed me. In other words, shelter, protection. Like, I don't have any of that. I'm stuck in the open, ready to get taken out, taken down. And this is how David is expressing himself, how he feels to God. He was experiencing some level of this loneliness, this depression. Like the cave that surrounded him, darkness was starting to close in on him. You know, there's many people that they're in a crowd of people, and yet they still feel this darkness closing in on them because of this. Whether it's situations in their lives, whether it's difficulties, whether it's this feeling trapped and alone. But I want us to see how David handled it. Maybe you were feeling like this today, how David was feeling. The cloud of depression hanging over his head. Do you feel overwhelmed this morning? Is life hard? And you feel like giving up or giving in sometimes? David felt this way, I believe, in the cave. He shares this with us. He was on the brink of despair. He's feeling like no one cares. But what's interesting is what he says in verse 3. And we see something here, a hint of confidence, a hint of hope. It says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you, capital Y, God, knew my path. We see a little brief acknowledgement of God's presence, of God's power, right, within David's prayer. And we begin to see now the cry of David's heart he's still crying out. He's still pouring out his complaint. He's still having these emotions and this dark cloud over him. But yet, even within the midst of that, there's a little bit of confidence now. Not in himself, but in God. If you look at the next few verses in Psalm 142, he says, I cried out to you, O Lord. And then we see a little shift in his thinking. He says, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. We see some confidence now. He says, you are my refuge. You know what's interesting is this word refuge. You know, most know the Bible was, in the Old Testament, was originally written in Hebrew. In the New Testament, it was written in Greek. Well, if you look at the Hebrew word here for refuge, it's different than the one that was in verse 4 when David said, I don't have a refuge. Well, now he says, Lord, you are my refuge. And if you look up the description of this word refuge, it talks not just about a shelter, but also talks about shelter with an aspect of hope to the word that they used here. So the other one is just physical shelter. This one now, when he says, you are my refuge, he's talking about a refuge, a shelter that brings hope. A shelter that now refers to the person that you can flee to when you're down and out. And so we see, he continues on in verse 7. He says, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me and you shall deal bountifully with me. So towards the end here, now he's developing some confidence. He's low. He wanted deliverance. But he also now sees that God can surround him. That God can deal bountifully. Maybe not have him escape, but when he does escape, he's going to have even greater reason to praise God when he comes out of that cave. And so we see hope is starting to rise. Listen, David was in the dark cave of despair, but even in the dark cave, as he was crying out to God, there was this bit of confidence. There was this bit of hope that, you know, God knows my path. So he acknowledges God in his life. So when we're praying to God and we're crying out to him, as believers, it is always with this tinge of hope. It is always with this understanding that God is present in the midst of even the dark cave of despair. And so he started to develop this hope when he says, listen, God knew my path. God will surround me. And we see that hope is starting to rise in his heart, even in the midst of his depression and his discouragement. There was some hope. Despair would not win. We see that hope begins to overcome in his heart. David found the answer to his feelings of despair. What do we say? Despair is like a feeling of no hope. And so what's the answer to the feelings of despair? Hope. Hope in God. There was hope. Psalm 42, verse 11, written by David as well, he kind of expands on this idea. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance in my God. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament says very similar. 2 Corinthians 4:8, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Paul said, listen, we're going through all this stuff, and Paul himself dealt with a lot of persecution and near-death experiences. And yet he says, listen, we're down and out, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. There's still hope. There's still hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14 says this, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest ye sorrow as others who have no hope. In other words, he's saying, listen, it's natural and we should grieve over loss of loved ones. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we grieve differently. We grieve with hope. We still grieve. We still cry aloud to God. But we grieve with hope. Because we have the hope in Jesus Christ and the hope of heaven. We may struggle. We may be in a cave of despair, but not without hope. And so the message that you're going to keep hearing that I want to drive in our hearts this morning especially for those that are in the dark cave of despair, is that there is hope. When you're at your lowest point, and as David said, your lowest low, look up. Because with God, there's always hope right there with you. The Bible says He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Because no matter what, God is there. It says in Psalm, I think I wrote it down somewhere. Maybe I didn't. Anyway, we'll get there. Oh yeah, I did write it down. Psalm 139, verse 7. David says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I say, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. He's saying, no matter what, wherever you find yourself, God is there. As a believer in Christ, His presence, His person, is always with you. And so, if that's the case, then there's always hope. Because He always brings hope. And so David begins to see, even in the midst of this dark cave, there is hope. So David could have certainly let this cave experience put him into a depressed, anxious state. But instead, through crying out to God, through holding out to hope, he was able to come out of despair. Now obviously With this desire that David had for God, there was also a willingness to submit and obey God in his life. That's an important part. Sometimes we sit in the cave of despair, and God is leading us, even some cases, to get out of that cave of despair, but yet we're not obedient to God. So I want to inject that in there. That hope is available. But you also have to have a heart for God, like David did, and be willing to want to follow God where He leads you. And it may be to stay in the cave for a reason, or maybe to get out, but you still have to take the steps to follow God and what He wants you to do within this situation that you may be in. So let's go back to 1 Samuel 22, where David escapes to the cave. He said, David therefore departed there, and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So we read his heart, what he was going through, how he sought God, how he cried out to God, and then had confidence in God. But here we see something else. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. You remember David's father and brothers? Were they too nice to him? Were they that nice to him? I don't know. David's father, right? He was like, he didn't even take him from the sheep so he could be presented before Samuel. He's kind of like the afterthought. Oh yeah, I got this kid, he's keeping sheep. I got one more kid, you may want to, you know, look at him. So he kind of neglected him a little bit. And then his brothers were kind of rude to him, especially Eliab the oldest. Eliab was the one that was like trying to discourage him and being like, I know your prideful heart, David. Why are you even here? How come you're not staying with your sheep? Like, they weren't too nice to him, especially after he was anointed king. But in this situation, they came unto him. They ministered to him. And it's kind of almost a heartfelt story, right? Maybe they put aside their differences, and now they found out where David was hiding out, and they came to him, and I imagine hopefully encouraged them. And it got me thinking that it's amazing many times when we're in the cave of difficulties and discouragement that God will bring into our lives people at the time when we need them. And sometimes with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we may not, you know, consistently be around each other or hang out, but when there's a need, When there's a difficulty, you start to see God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ, step up. And that's the way God would have us do it, to love one another. Not only that, so think about it, right? David, in his kind of semi-depressed state, almost lacking despair, I think of him sitting in that cave in the dark with his, you know, with his head in his hands and just kind of praying out to God, seeking God. Maybe he was just laid out praying to God, and then his brothers and his dad come, you know, and visit him. And so either he was strengthened maybe by that. You know, sometimes when you're in that state, like, you really don't want other people to be around you, right? So maybe this was a little encouragement to him. But then everyone who was in distress, right? Distress means to be stressed or anguished. Comes from the word meaning oppressed. So you got to understand, these people that are coming to David, they're under the reign of Saul, King Saul. And Saul isn't doing too good. Saul, if you read back, he's like, you know, taxing people like way too high, and he's just causing this oppression. And so these people are fed up, they're stressed out, they're anguished, they're oppressed. They come out to David in the cave, they find out he's there somehow, and they come to the cave to him. And then everyone who was in debt, so everybody with financial troubles, they come to him, whether it's because they, you know, they borrowed money and there was this huge interest people were charging them, and so they just couldn't pay it back, and so they decided to go see David in the cave. And then all those who were discontented, so if that wasn't bad enough, you know, David's struggling himself. He's got these distressed people and these people in debt, you know, knocking at the cave door, starting to walk in. Everyone who is discontented, that means bitter. What's like the worst people to be around is those like complainers and those who are bitter and, you know, angry. And so, complainers, right? So he's got the discontented coming in the cave. And so he's trying to deal with his own issues and give it over to God. And then, you know, I don't know the time frame, but all these people are rushing in so much that there ended up being 400 people coming to David in the cave. Imagine that. That's why I say we got to understand this cave was huge. Once you get into this cave, like there was enough space to be able to fit 400 people. But think about it. The worst thing you want in most cases from a personal standpoint is to have people around you when you're in a depressed state, right? Typically, when you start to get depressed, you isolate because you want to be alone, which is the worst thing you can do, by the way. But in this case, all these people are coming to David. All these misfits, if you will, these outcasts are coming to David. But we see something interesting. We see the crying out of David's heart, and we see the confidence in David's heart in God. And now we see the calling of David's heart. The calling of David's heart. You see, even during this dark time in the cave, God was preparing David. Even in this dark time of despair, God had a calling for David. He had a purpose for his life. It was a little unorthodox. Like, typically you get anointed king, then you get appointed king. David was only anointed king. Now he was kind of like going through the back door in a sense, and all these people are gathering unto him, and these 400 men became like his mighty men of valor, right? Like, he had this army of 400 outcasts that weren't happy under the reign of Saul. And so it's pretty cool. Now, even through David, as he's going through this dark time, now he has all these 400 guys around him that are like committed to David because they saw something in David. They saw hope. They saw hope for themselves and their families and their nation through David, even during the dark time. And I think sometimes with us, as we go through these dark times and these difficulties and these times of whether it's discouragement or depression or just struggle, that God is fashioning us, that God has a calling on our lives, and he can use that for his purpose and his glory if we allow him to. And David, certainly, we see his calling, and David began to be popular with the common people, the sinners and the outcasts that came around him. Kind of makes me think of someone else. Who's that make you think of? Jesus. Jesus, it says in Luke 5:32, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus got in trouble a lot by the religious people because he was hanging out with the outcast of society. And they're like, why are you hanging around with them? Like, are you a sinner too? And he says, no, I've come to save those that are struggling, not those that think they're righteous. It's the same today. Jesus is coming to save you if you realize you're a sinner. If you realize you need to be saved. If you think you're good and I go to church, I try to be a good person, then Jesus can't save you until you first get lost. I don't mean get lost like leave, but you realize your lost condition before God, that you need Jesus. Or without him, you will not spend eternity with God in heaven. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son on that cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn, he came to save. And what I mean by save is to save us from the penalty of our sin and our sinful nature, which is hell, separation from God forever. But his desire is for us to be with him, to once again for him to become our Father and us to become his children. It says in Luke 4:18, and listen to this verse, as it fits so perfectly with the story of David that we're talking about. In Luke 4:18, this is Jesus speaking in the temple, and he's really fulfilling the prophecy in himself. This is an Old Testament verse. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, or to the debted, right? Ones that are in debt, or the ones that are poor in spirit, however you want to take that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed or distressed. Right? Jesus has come to bring hope to all those people, to all those that see their need of him. He has come to bring hope. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 and 10 that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, if we agree and understand that Jesus came down to earth to die on the cross for your sin and for mine, he said, if you'll believe that and believe that he didn't stay in that grave, but he rose from the dead to give us victory over sin and death and hell, if you will believe that, he says, if you will trust him, for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you will receive him as your personal Savior, that you will have eternal life. That you will begin that journey of having a heart for God and being God's friend instead of being God's enemy. David was forced to find shelter as an outcast. And then he ended up with 400 outcasts that came to him. God puts us or allows us in certain circumstances, certain dark caves of despair to be a picture of Christ to others. And sometimes we are the ones that are in debt and distressed and discontented who need others like David to show us God's grace and love. Understand too, this was a continual daily struggle David had to face. This wasn't a one-time thing. He was in the cave of Adullam and he was feeling down because Saul was trying to kill him. Listen to what it says in 1 Samuel 23:14. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. David had to deal with this every day, this struggle, this running, this fleeing, this doesn't know if he was going to, you know, be alive the next day or not. But the rest of the verse says, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Because David had a God had a purpose for David. David was already anointed. We're just waiting for him to be appointed over all of Israel and for everyone to accept him as king. Right now, they're not. And so he has to go on this journey. The cave of despair could have swallowed David up, but David learned to carry his feelings and depression and darkness into the light of God. David was brought low, but listen to this. David was brought low, but no matter how low, he could never escape the hope of God. No matter how low you get, you can never escape the hope of God if you will look to him. God was his refuge, and there is hope, not just for everyone, there is hope for you. Wherever you are in your situation, whatever you're dealing with, whatever cave of despair you may be experiencing or dark cloud that's hanging over your head, know that there is hope for you. God's hope doesn't discriminate. All he asks is that you'll cry out to him. And if you cry out to him, there is hope. Doesn't mean you're going to get out of the cave necessarily, but it means he's going to give you the hope to get through your situation while you're in the cave. And may even use you and wants to use you even in the midst of the cave. Cry out to God. Be honest until you can be confident in him to continue on. David, a heart for God, went from the cave of despair to a cave of hope. Listen, that's good. It was a cave of despair and it should have destroyed David, but instead, not only did it bring him hope, it brought 400 other men hope because of David's heart for God. Having a heart for God doesn't mean you won't deal with difficult things. Actually, it probably means you will deal with difficult things. Having a heart for God doesn't mean you won't be depressed or struggle or have difficulties. But what it means is you have hope. And the hope isn't just for you. You can't keep the hope to yourself. We have those hope cards. I love them. Because we can give hope to others. And when you're in that cave of despair, can even be a greater time that you can shine the hope of Christ. So if there's one thing I want you to remember, first of all, there is hope. There's always hope. It doesn't mean hope to get out of the situation necessarily, though God may do that, but there's hope for you to get through it. And then secondly, know that God can use you within that situation to be a blessing to others. Romans 8 says this perfectly. We can never escape the hope of God. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you in the cave of despair and lacking hope this morning? Know that Jesus is hope. And that cave of despair can become a cave of hope. Well, you may still be in the cave like this person, but there's that ray of hope from God that will sustain you through those difficulties in your life.
Hey, all, thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more, please go to our website, emmanuelhooksit.com, where you'll find helpful links and resources and where you can contact us directly. That web address again is emmanuelhooksit.com. Bless God. Get out there and be the blessing.